lucharán de 2 a 3 caídas sin límite de tiempo.
I'm your host, as always, Tony Galvin. I'm joined here by Cubsman. Cubsman, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, even though somehow we get like a snowstorm at the end of March here. It's very weird.
Yikes. Yeah, I don't make you feel bad, but it's blistering hot over here in California, so.
Yeah. That's slightly different weather we're having.
But I'm sure we both gladly trade one for the other.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Let's see, we have a whole bunch of stuff to go over, so let's try to do this in chronological order, but I'm sure at some point I'll botch it up, so let's try our best.
Okay.
The first with the big news of all the results coming out of the Rey de Reyes show.
Okay, the big news of that show, the results were Electroshock won the Rey de Reyes, and then no one could remember about 2 days later because it's been so downplayed. Marco Corleone, Juventud Guerrera and Dr. Wagner all showed up at different points during the night. Mm-hmm. Macias kept the title over Chessman, and then the big angle running out of it was Wagner showing up to make the title over title challenge. And then both Roldan and Conan coming out to try to get him, the Wagner, to go on either side.
Yeah, what's your thought on all this happening all in one show? Do you think it's overloading the fans, or do you think it's just poor booking?
I think it's much as overloading fans because, I mean, there's no point in doing that tournament because Electroshock won and then there's nothing they're going to do to follow up, and they gave it to a guy who they don't really care about, who's just going to be in the same position anyways. But on the other hand, I think they just wanted to make the point that they could do all those surprises, and I think somewhat, you know, Marco Corleone just worked out that was a day where they could finally get him, and the same thing with Wagner. I think if they knew all the guys they would have had available, maybe they would have booked things a little differently, but it was just the confluence of events happening on one night.
Yeah, and all the things like the hair match and Electroshock winning just fall to the wayside.
Yeah, I think, especially for how much TV time that hair match got, it didn't seem like it was that big deal coming out of it.
So you think more or less all this fell together all at the same time without being planned in advance?
Yeah, I don't think AAA's strength is not in planning. I think it's just kind of, you know, it all just happened and they just dealt with it the best they could.
Yeah, I remember we were looking at the results and I was thinking maybe that, you know, with all these jumps, like anything's possible with anything with the perils coming in, but I got to thinking, this is probably all they have planned for right now. They probably just try to get this all out at once.
Yeah, I think if they had more stuff going, if they had more stuff ready to go right now, they would do it. It seems like they try to do all the big surprises at the big four shows, so I think that they may come up with more stuff, but we're probably not going to see any more big jumps to, like, Triple Mania. Mm-hmm.
And do you think with all these jumps, there's the possibility of the AAA roster getting a little bit too crowded?
I think... For a moment, they'll be too crowded, but I think what's going to happen is a lot of the older guys are just going to not get booked as much and find their way out. I mean, we haven't seen, like, the Guapos pretty much since January, so I don't know what they're saying. The Super Perky, this was his last show, and he's going to be in the scene. So I think there's going to be a lot of guys, but I think the undercard guys, especially the older ones who have had success outside of AAA are going to go look for that success again.
Okay. And do you think there's a chance of most of them are going to CMLL, especially with some Porky, or do you think they're just going to stay as indies?
I think they're going to stay as indies because I think CMLL is not going to not going to be in the hurry to take some of those guys because they're near the end of the career. I think maybe one or two shows up, but if you look at that last wave of guys who left AAA, most of them, I think, Pegaso and Ray Kometa were the only two who really turned up in CML that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else was kind of hoping they would, and they're still working the indie scene. So I think that's going to if more guys leave now, that would be the same thing, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a shame, because considering how stale the CML product has got, but you think they could use some new blood to kind of get things more exciting?
Yeah, I think they could, but it's just the problem is that the kind of guys they would get aren't the guys that they would trust to and mix stuff up. So.
Okay. Let's see. So you don't see AAA going anywhere with Electroshock?
I think they'll probably do a little bit with it, but I don't think... Like last year, where Zora won the Reyes, and it was pushed as the new top star in challenging for a title. I don't see... I would be shocked if any of the next four shows featured Electroshock challenging for versus Macias or Electroshock challenging someone else for a title. I think it may set up something where someone else beats him.
Yeah, they could do like a baton thing with he wins the Raider Raid, but then ultimately loses like maybe something like his faceplate to Superfly.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, his face mask.
Because he. what was I going to say about Electroshock? It's a shame they never got to think of pushing him or elevating him to a main event, because he's got the look of a main event kind of guy, but I don't know why they never seem to push him any higher than they usually do.
I think they pushed him in the past, and I don't remember how well that works. Mm-hmm. I think they're just guys that they feel more comfortable with on top, and that he's just... He's just outside that group that they kind of keep switching back and forth with. So I think if there were injuries, they might have confidence to push him up that high, but I think he's down on the totem pole of guys they're going to push.
Okay, and do you think Marco Colleone is ever going to get a shot at the Mega Heavyweight title?
As soon as the Rudo wins the title, whenever that happens, I'm sure they'll be doing the first few they'll do with Marco. I would assume... That's one of those things that was promised to him. Or I don't know that, but I would assume that he brought up not getting a shot at the CML heavyweight title while I was there. I'm sure that's one of those things he would have jumped for doing if he got a top feud. And I think they'll probably start Marco, so it seems like he's going to be part of the big card Foreign Legion versus AAA feud, mm-hmm. and that's an easy springboard to go into the headlining a show down the road.
Okay, so you think mainly his reason for jumping was just eventually maybe being in the main event and going for the heavyweight title?
Yeah, I think going for the heavyweight title and then hopefully getting more support to do outside of the wrestling stuff. I think he went as far as he could with CML, mm-hmm. but they weren't going to... No matter how good he did or how over he was still going to be at the spot he was. So jumping to AAA is just taking the risk that he might get something different out of it.
Okay, well, I'm just looking at the booking as of right now. It doesn't seem like they have plans to elevate him anytime soon. So, but anyway, you could still argue that he made the jump just so he could be on a bigger stage, just so he could do all these things on the side while being on the bigger show.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and any other big noteworthy things coming out of Ray the Race? Oh, of all things, the biggest thing of all, Dr. Wagner.
Yeah, Wagner showed up after the main event. They showed it, I believe they showed it as a teaser for next week and last week's AAA show in Mexico, and then the whole angle is supposed to air this week. It's been long rumored that Wagner was going to AAA, even back when he was still in CML, but I think Wagner only wants to go someplace where he's going to be a top guy, and there's enough people in AAA who already want that, so the problem was getting Wagner in there, a situation he would be happy with, and it sounds like AAA thought they had him coming in a few other times, but he backed out because he thought he didn't like the deal or whatever, so... Now they finally have him in to do the big champion versus champion angle, but they haven't actually had him back on TV. They haven't had him at the TV tapings yet, and they haven't said when he's coming back. So I think it's a strong tease of an angle, and certainly that's something they could headline Triple Mania with, was Macias versus Wagner. I think the AAA title doesn't mean really that much when you think about it, and neither really does Wagner's, but you have... like an outsider versus a guy who's part of AAA as your big match. I think that could work. But until he's a little bit more regular, there's no way you can count that things will stay good between the two between Wagner and AAA all the way to Triple Mania. It's a long 2 months, and you know, people could change their minds or get better deals elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a really long time for in Wagner time.
Yeah.
So do you think eventually, you think they're going to keep him around long enough, or do you think maybe he's eventually going to get cold feet, or maybe he's not going to like? I guess the only way I could see the main event going is where Macias would have to go over, don't you think?
I think Macias would have to go over for AAA's sake, but I think what may happen is like they do something where Macias wins by DQ, or there's some, or it would definitely have to be a controversial finish, or maybe even like a draw or something, or like a double DQ with a lot of people running in. But I think it's going to be dependent on if Wagner likes the terms, and then Wagner's also working with AAA as a promoter for his own shows, that where he was restricted to only bringing independent guys in after he dropped out of CML, and now if bringing the AAA guys work for him for his shows, maybe that's a factor he'll consider in staying or going.
Yeah, because that would actually be a huge thing for negotiating with CML. With they pretty much, that's the only main event that they really have for Triple Mania, and just leaving AAA hanging would be a great thing. It'd be a great thing for business as far as screwing over AAA and going back to CML.
Yeah, and I think even though this would put Wagner on AAA TV, which is usually the point of no return, I think he's not as far away from CML as like Santo is. Mm-hmm. I think it's possible for Wagner still to go back to CML and agree to do business, but it no one really knows what Dr. Wagner is doing until he actually does it.
Okay, and with all the Marco Colbans and the Dr. Wagners, where do you see people like Zorro and Steve Renetico eventually trying to come back in?
I think Zorro is going to be probably pushed down a little bit. I think they still kept his feud at X-Pac going, so maybe at least he has that, and it'll probably be him and the Hart Foundation versus Zorro and, it'll be Zorro and the Hart Foundation versus X-Pac and D-Generation Max and whomever. Mm-hmm. But, so he'll be stuck probably a little bit lower, but doing the same stuff. Mm-hmm. I think Cybernetico is really in the tough spot right now because they've shown that they can get by AAA up to Ruby Riz. Cybernetico had all the leverage in the relationship between him and AAA because they were still going through the process of trying to reformulate things without him on top. Mm-hmm. But now that they have Macias set pretty well as a Technico, and they have Marco Corleone in it, they're rolling without Cybernetico. I think Cybernetico really is in a tough spot because he needs AAA more than they need him right now.
Do you think there ever be a time or a condition where Cybernetico would ever go to CML?
I think there will be a time where there's not enough independent bookings and Cybernetico wants to go to CML, and he may even try to stir it up through the press. But mm-hmm. I think he's such a poor wrestler in the ring that the core CML would be appalled at having him and using him in the top guy. And if you don't use him as a top guy, it's really pointless to have him in there, and he's not going to want to be in there. So I think eventually, I don't think it'll come to that. I think it'll eventually just go back to AAA. But
I'm kind of against that because I'm just thinking the last year or so we've had the Villanos on top, and God knows that they can't work at all. And Perro's never been the best worker at all, and I mean Perro's always been a big main eventer, so I don't understand why Cybernetico is so special.
I think it's different for the Villanos because they're older wrestlers who have a history of one time being good wrestlers. Mm-hmm. I think Perro, it was like it's because he's the son of a legend that I think they give him more leeway, and then they gave him a little leeway at first, and then he got over, and then they didn't care if he couldn't work at all. I think Cybernetico, because he's the guy from the other company that does the fake wrestling, as I think CML people look at it, that he's not a real wrestler, and it hurts them by having him in. Like, the same thing as when Electroshock came back to CML for 1 week, and he was made to look a fool in the main event. Mm-hmm. I think they just don't want people from AAA coming in and CML having to make them look good, that would mean that Triple H wrestlers are on the same level as CML, mm-hmm. and the CML guys just can't stand that idea.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. So no matter, even if Cybernetic were coming in with the pair, you still don't think the CML fans will take them?
Maybe with the Perros. I guess I could see that.
Yes, that's why I see it happen. I don't see him just bringing Cybernetic by himself.
Yeah, I think as part of a group, I think if the Heat's not all on Cybernetic, I think they could take it, but it would be something that would really shake up CML if they did that, because mm-hmm. it would be a whole different look to the promotion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are the chances of Perro going back to CML, or do you see him going back to
CML? That was pretty much all Ray the Ray is. I think there's not really much more stories about it, except to see which way Perro's going to go, because I think they're still doing enough on the independent scene where they have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. But I think eventually he'll be comfortable more in CML because there are more spots for top guys open, mm-hmm. since there's so many more guys in AAA who are going to be around the top. I think there's obviously a big spot on Rudo's side where Perro left it. They can just go back in and pick up where he left off.
Where do you see the future CML with no Paraguay Jr.?
I think CML is going to have to work to elevate new challengers for Mexico. I think they did a pretty good job with the Negro Casas Mexico match at Dos Lan, at Two Legends. I actually just watched that match on LA TV a couple hours ago, and it was a pretty good match, and it really sets up like a hair match between the two of them later this year sometime. Mm-hmm. But I think besides Negro Casas, I think Ultimo Guerrero spent like the last 3 months being more of a technico than a Rudo.
And yeah, that was fun.
And everyone behind him is really the guys that Mexico beats pretty easily all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need to find more. They found a lot of young technicos to push, but they really haven't found the young Rudos to mm-hmm. push at that level.
Well, they seem to be pushing Tiba for a second, and then they just completely dropped it.
Yeah, I think they could do more with missing the Ebola, but I think because a lot of this stuff is comedy, they don't push that as strong in the main event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. let's see, as long as you brought the mystical Negro Casas feud, did you see their original match from Pueblo?
I have not seen that yet.
Okay, because I haven't seen their new match, but if it's as good as their original match, it's fantastic.
Which week was that? That was from, like, earlier this month?
Yeah, no, the first match in Pueblo, I think that was way at the beginning of the year.
Oh, what? I can't remember if I saw that, but I don't think I did, because it sounds like it's something I would remember.
Yeah,
it's
really good, and it's not the usual the treadmill stuff from Pueblo, so I think you'd remember it.
Yeah, I think the reason, I don't think I saw that, but the reason I think I like the match just a couple weeks ago that is because they kind of did stuff in the first fall and they did stuff in the second fall mm-hmm. and then they did your fall in the third fall. It wasn't like, well, we might as well move on to the Two Legends show, where in the main event they had the Ultimo Guerrero Ball on the Five match where they did a minute first fall, a minute second fall, and then 10 minutes of near falls where everyone knew it was going to be the actual fall until like the 8 minute mark at least.
Yeah, doesn't mean all Ultimo Guerrero singles matches as of late.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a weakness of the matches he's been doing is that he's been trying to do one fall matches but call them three falls, and it doesn't really work as well as I guess the idea is because it just points out how silly the format is more than anything.
Yeah. Okay, let's see, any other news coming? Well, let's move right on to the Dos Leyes results. Like we said before, we had the Mexico Negro Casas thing with Casas going over and them what seems to be setting up a new feud between them, and something that may go to the anniversary. Also, we had what was supposed to be the National Trio Champions versus the CML Trio Champions. Have you watched that match yet?
I have not watched it. That feud is very strange. Obviously, it's supposed to be Black Orton, Mysterioso's place. But mm-hmm. they keep on running the feud as if Mysterioso is supposed to be in that place. Because they're going to... Puerto Mexico team won on that show, and then they're going to win last night, so they're going to get a title shot next week. And it's kind of hard to believe that two guys would be trios champions with one partner, and then win another set with a second partner.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what they want us to believe in the style defense.
Yeah, I'm not entirely against the idea, because Black Warriors have been really inconsistent, and I think it's not really fair to Sangre Azteca and Dragon Rojo Jr.
Yeah, I think it's true. Actually, if Black Warriors is going to be gone for long term, it wouldn't be a bad idea for Puerto Mexico to win the world title and then drop the national trios titles and have that go in a tournament or something.
Yeah, or they could always just because it's the same faction, they could just dissolve that title.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can go do something else with it. Instead of having... the worst possible outcome is that the Puerto Mexico hold on to the trios titles, but Black Warriors go on for a long time and they can't do anything with them. And the strange thing with the Black Warriors is that CML obviously knows what's going on because they're booking order out in Guadalajara and Puebla, and he's making all those shows. He's not making the Mexico City shows.
Mm-hmm.
But they just come out and say, okay, this is what the deal is. They'll be back on so-and-so day. They just mentioned that, oh, yeah, he's not fired, which doesn't really help at all.
Yeah, it's a bad precedent.
Both major lucha companies could be more forthcoming on why people aren't around. Mm-hmm. Even if they had to make an excuse, just acknowledge, this guy's not going to be around until such and for a while, and so then people don't make up rumors that they have to shoot down later on.
Yeah. Okay. And what's your take on Mysterioso being the new third guy if Black Warrior doesn't come?
I like Mysterioso, and he's a guy that's always deserved a better shot, but hasn't really has kind of got lost in the shuffle on the real side. So I think Black Warrior has more charisma, but I think Mysterioso probably be just as good as a wrestler at this point.
Yeah, if anything, I prefer Mysterioso, because here you have a guy who, I mean, God bless Black Warrior, but it didn't seem like he was really going, selling the gimmick as far as the whole Mexican power thing, and it just seems like Mysterioso would be more so someone who could respect someone like that, and it just seems like he's someone that is on the mid-card and who would make use of being in a faction like that.
Yeah, I think for Mysterioso, this is going to be his big chance to show that he should have been doing more stuff all along.
Mm-hmm.
And for Warrior, this is just something they were shuffling him into, and something that he might have saw as killing time until he got another big solo feud.
Okay, yeah, I'm not against that, okay. And then, nothing really else on the card except for the big main event match.
Yeah, as usual with CML cards, they don't really give you any matches unless they think they need it to put people in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So once they had a title match and once they had the mask match, we were lucky to get anything else at all.
Yeah.
I have not seen the mask match, just the highlights of it, but nothing in it screams something that I need, that I feel like I missed out on not seeing. It would have been nice to see it, but it doesn't sound like it was any better of a Volano 5 match than matches we've seen lately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it seems like everybody was thinking maybe that Ultimo would retire, considering that all the things he had lined up, they had the Ultimo Guerrero Jr. gimmick, and then he had his own burger restaurant of all things opening up, so I was hoping he wouldn't retire, because pretty much he's the only real credible main event Rudo on the entire roster.
Yeah, I think they did, with that kind of match where Blanco Pies is such a big underdog based on how guys are used, you have to really do a big job of building people up that maybe Ultimo Guerrero has a reason why he has to lose and get out. And I think they did as much as they could. I think they did as good as they could of making you believe Ultimo Guerrero could lose his mask given his status in the company.
Mm-hmm. And do you think an Ultimo Guerrero would ever lose his mask, or do you think eventually he's just going to retire with his mask?
I think Ultimo Guerrero is probably going to lose his mask at some point, but it's probably, it may be a few years down the road, but I think he's not a guy who's going to need that mask to be remembered, and I think his role in the company has always been the guy to make the technicals look better,
mm-hmm.
and I think losing the mask would be another big way of doing that.
Yeah. Okay. Any word on how much Volano 5 got paid to drop his mask?
I believe the Observer had it. It was something like 25,000, which is actually pretty nice money considering, you know, how much people, considering what he would have gotten if Volano 5 hadn't got, if CML hadn't decided that Volano 5 was worth bringing in to do a mass match. Mm-hmm. The same match with the Indies, I don't think he would get near that kind of money.
Yeah. I still like the joke that I made that his payoff should have been just being booked for all these months.
Yeah, I doubt that CML is going to book a mass match where Volano 4 drops his mask sometime down the road, because it'd be too obvious and it'd be too hard to build up to the point where people would care about it.
Yeah.
But I think eventually Volano 4 will try to lose his mask, and I think he's going to be in for a big disappointment that he wasn't the brother who was in this match, because I think it'll end up with a lot less.
Yeah, okay. And I'm just kind of afraid of the whole Volano 4 thing. I mean, it really feels like a double-edged sword for someone like me. If they do it now, you get it out of the way so you don't have to deal with this feud for a while, but then at the same time, eventually, if you put it off down the road, we're going to have to put up with all this, we're going to have to put up with the Volano wrestling again. I'm not for that.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario, if you feel that way, is that instead of losing CML, he loses in one of those big, where they bring in 18 guys like Hijo de Solitario and Hijo de Anibal, and have a loser advanced tournament, and then he loses in one of those. I think it feels like he's going to lose more in that way, where it's just an national indie guys kind of tournament rather than CML. Because I think CML has gotten all they can get out of Volano at this point.
Yeah, okay, that's great. That was a hard couple of months trying to watch CML with Volano's on top.
Yeah, unfortunately, they seem like they're still keeping Volano around a little bit to get some wins back until they can do more. They can do it more outside of TV, but hopefully they'll move on to the next direction pretty soon.
Okay, and where do you see that? Where do you see them going from here?
I think because they're so far away from their next big show that looks like they're just going to do some smaller matches and, you know, more filler stuff. Like next week has just a random trios technical team versus a random Rudos team over the trio styles match, and I think that's probably what we're going to get for the next couple of months, where they're just deal. Teams and then maybe feuds that are built up over a few weeks, but nothing major.
Okay, the stuff with the trio stuff actually sounds entertaining.
Yeah.
Any word of La Sombra ever coming back?
Sombra?
Yeah.
Sombra came back, I think, was it 2 Sundays ago? Mm-hmm. He didn't been used all that much. So I think he should be a big part of things the next couple of months. I think they may be taking it easy with him working back, but I think he'll probably have a stronger role the next few months.
Okay. And I think that's far as the Dozo Day show. I guess we should move on to Abismo Negro, of all things.
Yeah. I think everyone, by the time you've heard this, has been discussed many times on the website and other sites, so
yeah.
I think there's not a lot new to add. I think the one thing that really hasn't been covered much, but I think I have a post going up about this soon, is that in the last Wrestling Observer, the current theory about why Abismo Negro got off that bus and ended up drowning is that after Rey de Reyes and his last show, he was on a cocaine binge for a couple days. Mm. And until he was to the point where he was broke, and that's why he was going back home because he couldn't afford anymore. And so the after effects of all the drug use probably caused the panic attack, which caused all the erratic behavior that led to the stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's unclear if this is the best guess or if they know this for sure in the Wrestling Observer, mm-hmm. but I think what's been said about Abismo in the past, it's probably what actually happened.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess it's sort of the best case scenario, considering the worst case scenario would have been he was murdered.
Yeah, I think with all the, I think it's probably a more mundane way to end up drowning, because I think everyone had, when it first got mentioned, everyone started to think of dramatic ways where that could have led him into that death, but I think it's just the same problems that he had through the last few years of his life eventually just took his life.
Mm-hmm, no.
I think one distressing thing is that from what I've read, Abismo Negro had a drug habit. It was no big news to AAA.
Yeah.
But there really hasn't been talk about, okay, we've had guys with drug problems, what do we do to fix this? It's just been, maybe it's too soon, maybe it's something they'll say later, but it seems like they're just writing this off as a one-time death. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like the situation is more that this is probably going to happen again to someone else.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah. I think, you know, if the U.S., what happened with the U.S. is any indication, it takes, it unfortunately takes a few deaths for people to start taking action about stuff.
Mm-hmm. And do you think with this new revelation, there's any chance that AAA will sort of step back on all the memorial stuff, or do you think they've pretty much got all their other system and they're just gonna try to fade out the whole Abismo Negro gimmick, including Black Abyss and Mini Abismo?
I think they're going to. I think because it's probably not going to get much attention from us, I think people will willfully ignore it, but so they'll still be able to honor Abismo Negro. I think this means that they'll still won't use Abismo Negro's name anymore, and they won't use Black Abyss.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that Mini Abismo Negro on the show a couple days ago, on the show, they've announced that they won't use Abismo Negro's name. He's still wrestling as Mini Abismo Negro. So I think they'll let him keep the name to continue the honor gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like how they let baseball players keep using the number 42 after retired for Jackie Robinson to honor Jackie Robinson. I think they'll just find either Black Abyss will go back to Angel Zero, or they'll find a whole new gimmick for him. But I think they'll probably continue to uphold the name of Abismo Negro like they said they would.
Okay. And you think with Mini Abismo, do you think I'm saying everyone seems to be thinking he might jump. So do you think if he jumps to CML, they would try to take back the gimmick?
I think it would be a strong consideration in his mind. I think the factor is how close he was to Abismo Negro and how much it feels like you'd be honoring him if he stayed in AAA, even though he's not keeping the name. But really, for guys like Mini Abismo Negro, the biggest thing they have is the name, and that's the biggest obstacle to jumping. I think it would give him much more of an opportunity to jump to CML because he would gain the fresh start either way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's a guy who seems like he's been loyal to AAA for a long time. It would be a hard thing for him to jump.
Okay.
It would be really awesome for CML because he'd been there in Mini's division great, and it would really hurt AAA because they'd be down one guy. They're very thin in their Mini division. But
yeah, pretty much the guy who was the whole rude side of the Mini division.
But I think because he's, and that may also be a reason he stays, because he's going to be the top rude in AAA, and he's going to be in the mix in CML. So I don't think he's going to jump, but it's something to watch.
Well, my just impression that if he does jump, it'd be sort of like a cork in a bathtub, where if he leaves, I could see all the minions from AAA leaving.
Yeah, I could see, or AAA decides that, okay, we don't have this guy. We have maybe a couple guys that are worth doing something with, but not worth. It's a division they haven't really been high on since Pena's left, so maybe it's something where they decide, okay, we'll just to take that out and give another match to the regular guys.
Okay. On a much lighter note, let's move to the news of Hoovy coming into AAA and leaving AAA in what has to be a record-setting what's the word?
It's the shortest tenure I can remember. I mean,
there we go.
He came in at Triple Mania just to make an appearance to ally himself with the Technicos. It sounded like they wanted him to join Degeneration Mex, but off-screen, the Degeneration Mex guys didn't really want him in there. So it was just an unaligned Technico. Mm-hmm. And then they brought him in for the Madero taping, to work the Cruiserweight cage match.
Mm-hmm.
in that show, after Hoogie went out for his match, he came back to find his bag full of crap. And that's what led to an argument with Conan and eventually a fight with Jack Evans, where Jack Evans clearly won the fight.
But appears to be one type of fight.
I think, in a strange way, AAA is kind of it's a very small silver lining on its sad story. Mm-hmm. But because Abismo's Negro's death was found out about just like the next day, I don't think there's going to be much heat on AAA for its wrestlers. One of its wrestlers being the crap out of the other one in the locker room. I think they're just going to see. There's other stuff going on, and that's going to be ignored. But it doesn't reflect good on AAA, but it probably doesn't reflect good on AAA for hiring a guy back who they knew had issues that was going to, and was going to be the sort of problem. I mean, either you hired the guy back while talking to everyone, not really causing him to go insane on the first stop. On the first show, mm-hmm. or you don't hire him back at all. It doesn't make sense to do like how they did it.
Yeah, I kind of don't see why they would hire him. It doesn't seem like he's a big enough star to where he would make any difference, and I don't see their mentality for hiring him back.
You know, I think it's the ownership at some point that they want to get every star they can just to get stars, not because it's a good business decision, mm-hmm. but I think Hoogie really wouldn't have made as much difference as he thinks he might or they think he might mm-hmm. because of his inconsistency since he's come back from, since the WCW. I think that he probably should be as big a star as he thinks he is, but he hasn't performed as consistently in the last even 10 years at this point, really. Yeah.
Well, you know, you brought up a good point where you were talking about AAA trying to bring in all these superstars. Do you think with that kind of mentality, there's the risk of maybe AAA running out of spots?
AAA running out of what?
Running out of spots.
I think there is, because people are going to be battling for the same space, and you're always going to have people who are unhappy that they're not going to be in the top spot. Mm-hmm. But I think AAA, but that's the long-term problem. And the short-term problem, I think AAA sees that they have a lot of different people they can promote. They can have They could theoretically expand the non-TV spot shows that they run. That they could have more attractive different main events going on at the same time because they have more main eventers in the company. It's really going to be the TV tapings where some of the guys who on the other days work as the main events are going to end up working third from the top where problems occur.
Okay. And, we seem to go through everything, a month's worth of Lucha, a lot of news worth of Lucha, and some record time. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into the questions?
No, I think those are all the big stories. It's just, there's been a lot of big stories. It's really, everything small has been totally overshadowed by the big stuff this month, I think.
Okay. Let's see, our first question is... Any idea who defecated in Hoobie's bag?
No one knows, but I would assume that it's probably... You know what? Because Conan... I think Conan wouldn't deny it if he actually did, because I think Conan's that kind of guy, as you know from talking to him. Mm. Conan's the guy who if he does something, he doesn't worry about hiding that he did it. Mm. And I don't think I think it could have been one of any... any number of people on that tape from the AAA locker room, because there's a lot of people who probably aren't big fans of Hoobie.
Okay. So it could have been anyone, you say?
Yeah, I think it could have been anyone. I don't know locker rooms well enough, but it sounds like something more that sounds like something I've heard from coming from, like, guys who've done in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and as opposed to guys who come from Mexico. But then, you never know. That could be a good way to get someone from the U.S. blamed for doing it.
Okay. Our next question is, what's the situation with Hysteria and Psychosis?
They were announced for a pair of Del Mal show, but it was so far in the future. I think what's happened in a few cases with AAA guys, AAA mid-carders, but I know this is explain the situation with Oriental not making the Chicago shows last year. There's long enough between the TV tapings that sometimes they complain about not getting enough bookings and leave AAA and start agreeing to do stuff elsewhere, and then stuff gets worked out and they're back with AAA before even those shows happen. And I would assume what happened is that Hysteria and Psychosis were upset about something and gave them the notice, and then they sent them back on the Monterey taping, so maybe they just, so they probably fixed whatever the problem was. I think since AAA doesn't run three shows every week with most of the top guys, mm-hmm. there's plenty of times for people to leave the company and come back, and no one notices, especially with guys like Hysteria and Psychosis and Oriental and other guys, who they may not be on every taping, they may be on every third one. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to be ending up on that taping, but maybe things will change again.
Okay. The next question is, do you see the Atomicos titles returning, or do you think what they do with Vampiro was their way of kind of killing off the Atomicos titles?
I think the most likely killing off the Atomicos titles, I think they took the Atomicos titles out so they would have room for another title and the Cruiserweight title. Mm-hmm. They haven't really been high on the Atomicos titles since Pandora's not been around. I mean, those gone where they've done a feud, and then they've gone months without doing a feud. And more often, I think, even when they've done a feud, half the time, the last big feud they had, it was when the Sect had the titles with Chessmen, and Chessmen wasn't even along with his partner. I think we have the problem with the Mexican National Trio titles in CML, where you have only two guys around and one guy off mm-hmm. doing whatever. I think the problem is even worse with the Atomico titles, where it's tough to keep, especially with AAA, where people get turned or people get used in different ways. I think they have problems keeping four guys together as a group. So I don't think it fits them, and I don't think it fits what they want to do right now, so I think it's something they're going to put on the shelf. And I think they like having every title on their TV as a AAA title, instead of a title that's typically regulated by the commission, and the commission could get involved some way when to block what they want to do with it.
Mm, okay, and with the... I understand their reasoning for the loss of the Atomicos titles, and I guess another reasoning is they want to really try to value what championships they do have. But at the same time, with this Cruiserweight title being developed, you think eventually they're going to lose interest and just drop that like they did with the Minis title when they had the tournament to become a new Minis champ?
I think it's definitely a possibility because that whole tournament's gone nowhere. Even like 9 months, it seems like, maybe it's only 6 months later, but they haven't really done the title match. Mm-hmm. I think because the Cruiserweight title is going to end up on a guy that they're currently pushing, it's probably, you know, it may be Jack Evans, it may be it may be one of the guys, it may be Crazy Boy, it may be someone who is already in the mix of someone they have on TV regularly. When they did the Minis tournament, it was after a stretch where the Minis weren't on TV at all. Mm-hmm. And it was structures the Minis weren't on TV at all. If a title's on a guy that they actually use, then they'll eventually come, they'll be more likely to actually be fused with them, I think. So I think this title is a better chance, but you never know until they start doing title matches.
Okay, and wasn't there talk of them having another Minis title?
Having the Minis title defended?
No, I thought I remember reading somewhere that they were thinking of already developing another Minis title already.
I don't remember that part.
Okay. Perhaps I just made that.
Yeah.
Let's just go with that. Where do you see CML going with the Dos Caras turn?
I think they're going to push it off for a while because it doesn't make as much sense that Dos Caras and Rudo if there's no Marco Corleone to feud with them because there's no one else heavyweight on the technical side of Dos Caras turns. So I think it may be something that they do down the line if they need to, if they feel Dos Caras is stale, which I think he probably is at this point,
yeah.
And they actually have someone to feud with him. But I think for right now, he's probably back. He's probably staying where he is just so that there is a, because it's better off than their alternative right now.
Yeah. Well, that seems to be the big problem with CMLL is that they don't have a lot of, they don't have a lot of credible Rudos, but they have a lot of Rudos.
Yeah, they have a lot of people who are just like Liz Mark Jr., where everyone they know they're supposed to boo him, but they don't show up to see the technical fight him because he's just not important.
Okay. And yeah, I think eventually there is a future, because especially if CMLL wants to elevate a lot of young guys as far as technical goes, so I think eventually they want to maybe put Dos Caras as a top Bruto.
Yeah, and I think it would work. It would freshen up Dos Caras because he's been pretty much doing the same act in the same match since he's been in CMLL, but I think you just have to figure out, you can't just turn Dos Caras to having him do a feud, and I don't think, like, Dos Caras versus Hector Garza or Dos Caras versus Shocker is really worth turning Dos Caras to Bruto at this point.
Mm. And what was your take on the Ultimo Guerrero face turn? Was it worse than at Rey Bucanero, or was it worse than Bruto Atlantis? Of the three, which one is the worst, do you think, in your opinion?
I think Ultimo Guerrero as a technico has just been the least interesting, because I know they're trying to make him as the Rudo standing up for his hometown and his area, but he's not. And I think the hardcore fans cheer for him, but I don't think it's really grabbed the mass attention as it would if it was even the other way. If they did it like Volano 5 was trying to, you know, fight to have one more day with his mask, and Ultimo Guerrero was the punk trying to take it all away from him. I think that feud might have been more interesting than the feud we got. I don't know if the fans would have got more into it, but it seems inconsistent. The way they've done it seems inconsistent, where on one day, one show, Ultimo Guerrero was a Rudo. He's the technical king of Blue Panther, and then 2 days later, he'd be fighting him as a Rudo, and Blue Panther would be a technical. It's really, they should have either totally committed to the Ultimo Guerrero as a technical idea on all shows, or they should have just kept him as a Rudo. Doing the back and forth really dilutes the whole thing.
Okay. Let's see. Any more? Do you think the Black family is underrated?
I've always liked the Black family. I think Oz probably should get a stronger person. I wish four guys were on TV more. Those are four of the guys who probably would have been. If Triple A didn't have, like, Jack Evans and Teddy Hart around, that's the position that the Black family normally has been in, where they're the goons for the elite Rudo squad. And I think they haven't really found a good. There's not been a good spot for them since a lot of the corners came in. I think eventually they'll get back in a stronger role, but right now they're just out of the loop right now.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, like we were discussing before, in a situation where Triple A is really scarce on spots, do you think, like, a Black family, or who else would you see maybe potentially going to CMLL eventually?
Black family would be an interesting group, although I don't know if they would have to change their names or list or something, but I'm thinking maybe some of the, I think it's probably the younger guys who have a better chance of going to CMLL, because they can restart their careers and they haven't done stuff in CMLL already, where CMLL has already gotten all they need from them. But, you know, the guys who get on TV a couple times and then maybe not for a long time, maybe looking at guys like Picasso and Ray Kometa, where they've actually made some progress in CMLL. They're not, you know, doing top matches or even semifinals, but they've got a more regular schedule than the guys in AAA, where maybe they get on TV once every couple of months.
Okay. And this is quite the question, but let's see, maybe you can try to make a crack at it. Your favorite CMLL and favorite AAA match of all time?
I can't even do that, because it's just like, how am I going to think back at all the matches I've seen? I think maybe the CMLL match would be like one of the Ultimo Guerrero Rey Bucanero versus Santo and Negro Comp tag matches. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what I'd even say about the AAA match. unless you cheat, and I guess it's not cheating, but everyone always says the Santo Octagon Acro Arpar match from World Squad. But, I mean, of recent stuff, I can't even begin to think what I would pick as the best match.
Okay, I think that's about it. Anything else you want to discuss before we just call it a show?
No, I think considering Skype fighting us all the way, I think we've met, go through everything we need to go through.
You win this time, Skype. All right. From me and Cubs fan at the Lucha Listening, thanks again for checking out the podcast. See you later.